If you could all stand, please. Thank you, everybody. Please have a seat. Thank you, Gary. Good morning. And thank you for coming together to help one another grieve and to celebrate Joanne's earthly life and her lasting impact. My name is Matthew, and it is my honor to join you as one of Joanne's friends, one of Joanne's brothers in God's large and beautiful family. It was just days ago, it seems, that she wrote to me in a text, please forgive my Spanish, to hermana Joanna, your sister. And that's how my journey has been with her over the last 7 years. You, Joanne's family and friends, have been outstanding in your support, giving loving encouragement and physical presence during this short journey to today. Richard, Michelle, and Mark, we hurt with you, and we acknowledge your steadfast and self-giving support to your dear wife and mother. Thank you. And to Joanne's beautiful support team of siblings, in-laws, nieces, nephews, friends, co-workers, and neighbors, thank you all for the impact of your love. The music, the notes, the texts, the caresses, the jokes, assurances, and might I say, the very presence of God working through you as our Joanne journeyed toward home. God has surely been in our midst, and He's here with us this morning. He's here right now. I love the truth in Psalm 34:18 from our God who is always with us, saying that He is close to the brokenhearted. And He rescues those whose spirits are being crushed. In other words, when we feel that way, He has a way of opening us up that we could receive Him, for He's always present. It was just over a week ago, Sunday evening at the hospital, that I walked off the elevator onto the fourth floor. I came through the doors into Joanne's wing, and I could hear a choir. It was people worshiping, turning to God, enjoying His presence and strength. And there in Joanne's room and overflowing into the hall was the Joanne Mecker worship ensemble. No doubt there is rejoicing and a party in heaven when a saint finally comes home. And perhaps that night the angels and saints in heaven felt a little pressure to match the loving hours experienced with her here, and they only had a week to prepare. Let us sing our first song together. The words are in your program, and Gary's going to lead us. You can remain seated if you will, and we will sing "And Can It Be?" Thank you for that beautiful singing. Before I read some passages of God's Word, let us pray briefly. Heavenly Father, your love is lavish, self-giving, and present this morning. We invite you to change and tenderize our hearts towards you. We thank you, God, that you've given yourself that we might have life eternal, that we could have new life here, taste it to the full, and have anticipation that we could bank on your promise that you'd bring us home. It is with you that we gather, Lord Jesus, our risen Savior. Amen. I'd like to share a few passages with you, three of them. And some of the wording might be helpful and new, because I've chosen three slightly different translations. First from Hebrews, then Psalm 23, and then from the book of Matthew. First from Hebrews 4 and 12. Since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Jesus invited us when he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank the Lord for his life-giving word. Let us sing together, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's number 53 in the Psalter in the pews. Isn't it great to sing together the eternal and sure promises of our living God? That He throws open His arms to us that we can have fellowship and oneness with Him. This is not a religious ceremony. This is time with a God who loves us, who wants to minister to us, touch every care that we have, reach into the depths of our soul. Let us go to Him in prayer and open our hearts and minds to our living God. Father, thank You for Your presence and the promise that You have made to be with us. Thank You for sustaining, strengthening, and encouraging Joanne and us during her suffering. Thank You for Your strength, Your healing, and Your tenderness in grieving. The way that You've been understanding us and that You value each one of our heart's conditions personally this morning. Thank You, Most High, that You share Your resurrection power with us, that we can rest confidently in Your promise that this is not all there is, that physical death is not the ultimate end, but that in fact this short earthly time is just an appetizer of the eternal life available in You, and that Your self-giving grace and invitation is available to us, that we too, like Joanne before us, can come home to You, restored and healed, to experience more than we can imagine. We love You, God. We thank You, Jesus, for making this possible, for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and that we're here with You now. We thirst for You. We need You. Have Your way. As we thank You, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite the cousins, Mark, to come, and they're going to sing for us. And I think we're welcome to sing along towards the end as they sing As the Deer. takes a lot of strength. Thank you for putting yourselves out to share in ministry that way. I want to confess to you that though I am in the role of a pastor and a shepherd, I'm just a guy that struggles with having to come up front and say words. But I'm compelled today to do that because Joanne's effect on me has been real and lasting. And that as I've been a pastor in her home church, where she helped adopt me in about 7 years ago, I've been encouraged by her, and I've been moved by her love for long sermons. No, that's not true. It's not true at all. But I have been infected by her sense of humor. Do you know that sense of humor? That quick way of bringing things to bear and last with a smile on your face. I remember when Joanne first joined our leadership team, our elders group, or our working board of directors, depending on your background. Joanne was appropriately concerned about having to lead and organize one particular area of ministry. So we encouraged her that her partnership could be as a member at large. And she quickly referred to her physical stature and that she could fill that role quite well. And if you know what I'm talking about, just a pound or two of huggability. And she had a way of just bringing us into smiles, understanding her nature as well. She didn't want to organize. She wanted to share a practice of prayer and going before the Lord and having a heart for Jesus. Joanne's ability to encourage came out of her wisdom, practicality, and a close personal relationship with God. Uniquely today, I would like to share some important gems of my most recent correspondence with Joanne as part of my encouragement for you this morning. Joanne had been growing away from a self-reliant, stoic posture, something that she used to like to tie to her wonderful Dutch roots. Since her original journey with cancer 3 years ago, she courageously let down some of her stoic front to be more vulnerable and share how she was actually leaning into God in a deeper, transforming way. She was finding deep peace in that. On June 28th, I had a text from Joanne. Probably just one of those, how are you doing? Checkups. She said, note, this is before this diagnosis. This is checking up on how things are. I go for results on Wednesday to a current test. I'm being attacked by worry and anxiety. I'm keeping a good front, but I am in need of prayer. And then she went on to say, Sunday's worship service was just what I needed. A meaningful reminder of God's reassuring and encouraging presence. It's good to be in God's Word. So keep preaching it, bro. So that's what I'll do. I remember a porch visit with Joanne. I know she loved her time there, Richard. She enjoyed watching you rake those leaves. And she shared with me in that visit how she had been reflecting on this truth, that God really does care more about how we think about Him and how we understand who He really is and we embrace Him than He cares about changing our circumstances. It was easy for me to say that kind of thing. But to hear it from somebody who is experiencing it, changing her from the inside, that she was responding to God in a rich and positive way when she had been hungering for her path and journey with fighting cancer to take a 180. And that wasn't evident yet. It was encouraging and deepening for Joanne. To have a peace because of God's deeper working within her, despite the temporary physical part of the journey. Just 3 weeks ago, on October 1st, Joanne wrote to me and to many of you, a first in her life. Quote, "For the first time ever, I can honestly say that I have tasted some joy in suffering." You see, I had been praying that the suffering would go away. And honestly, that during the journey and suffering that she would experience some joy that seems to come from the circumstances of the test results being different. But Joanne was on a track of consistently experiencing an unexplainable peace that was coming from deep within her that the Lord was doing when the evidence of change was not before her. She went on to say, "I have learned more of my Father's heart. He is a good, good Father. And I am loved by Him. That is who I am." Joanne was sharing about the reality available to all of us now in our own hurts, a tangible and real transforming power by our powerful God who cares for us like an attentive shepherd. Isaiah 40 verse 11 says that our God tends to His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and He carries them close to His heart. That's how He loves. These aren't just words on a page. This is Joanne's story. On September 29th, just 2 days before that, she said, and I'm telling her story for our growth and our leaning into the Lord as well. "I felt waves of despair wash over me today. I felt as though I was going down, and I cried out, 'Lord, I don't have the strength to hang on.' And then I could feel Him reach down and pull me up to Himself." This is different than just believing the truth. Or just saying, "I've been baptized into the faith." Or, "I know someday when I die too, I'm going to go to heaven." Isn't this tremendous? That in a journey of suffering, that God is present and caring and helping, and He's here with us wanting us to experience the same this morning and going forward. Joanne's experience, her lasting testimony has been and remains one of God with us, God for us. Like we sing and celebrate at Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Joanne was practicing the with of God's presence She had been vulnerable toward our loving God, and she found Him tender and helpful, not judging or counting her wrongdoings against her or us. I noted that back in June, again pre-diagnosis, Joanne sent a note about being with Jesus. It was the essential element, she said, of being effective and helping others understand about God's love for them. You know, Joanne was a missionary. Not just overseas, but in our own culture, in your workplace, in your family, in my life. She wanted others to know not just the hope of heaven, but the life to the full that God offers. And in this note, she quoted Acts 4:13 when she said, "I think this is the essence of being able to share God's love with people. That people were noticeably different in a good way because they had spent time with Jesus." She was being drawn into the fact that besides what she believed and had known, that spending more time with the God that loves us cultivates the work and the sense of His love that we actually have some hope to share. One of my favorite times that Jesus spent with people was when they too, a group of friends, a small community, were grieving when a very close friend had passed away. They were hurting, and their futures felt uncertain. It was actually Jesus Himself who had passed away. And He came to meet with them, not in a church, but on a beach. And He called them friends and He invited them to spend time with Him. He actually prepared breakfast. No wonder Christians like to eat. And He had them spend time with Him and He spoke encouragement to them as a group and personally. And that is how our Lord invites us. When we hear His directions from John 15:4 to abide in Him, to be connected to Him, to thrive and have our being in relationship with Him. That's what Joanne was experiencing and encouraging us forward in. It was just over 6 weeks ago that I received a note from Joanne, just days before we gathered here to celebrate her brother Hank's life and homegoing. She said in a note, "Hank was now just wanting to go home. To go home." Like Hank, Joanne too had what Ecclesiastes 3:11 illustrates, that God has put eternity into the hearts of people. That we would be drawn like a vacuum to go home, not to cling to this world and be caught up in living without a closeness to our Maker, as so much of our world can draw us away from. Honest industry, striving for our families. But Jesus calls us to closeness and to with. He reaches out to us, our risen Lord. He said in John 14, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. This is the end portrait. My Father's house has many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. Why would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I'll take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And then he said, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Jesus said, I am the way. Everyone that comes to the Father comes through me. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. He's made the way that we could be home. He has a land development underway where he's preparing a place for every one of us, and he wants us to come home. But Jesus said, I also came that you could have life to the full. And it's here. It's available to us. We just sometimes, those of us that have received his gift of forgiveness, need to practice the presence of the Lord and be with him. I want to go home. Not just yet. But I'm encouraged by Joanne's testimony that I can have joy in suffering. That I can have a peace beyond what I can understand. That I can have an appetite for heaven, and that as I spend time with him, people might think God's up to something in that broken person that I could have too. Joanne's legacy challenges me, encourages me to live in the presence of God, to be affected by him, and to help others know the truth of what God has done for us. God is so faithful to receive us. In the deepening walk with him here, and finally to come home. May that be our reality as well, as we cast our cares on him, as we receive his love for us. He's a faithful God to us. He gives himself to shepherd us. As we reflect on God's fingerprints on Joanne's life, I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that you take stock that through Joanne in some way God has loved you, has helped to shape you, has left you with a contagious image of a bit of what he's like, and that he wants to draw you in closer to abide in him. Let me lead us in prayer, and then we will stand this time and sing, Great is thy faithfulness. Lord God, thank you that what we've been thinking about and reflecting on this morning is true. That you're a God that hungers to have us close. You're the one that reaches down and embraces. You're not a faraway God with standards that we can't measure up to and have to keep fighting toward. But you're one with a perfection and a grace and a love that you've given yourself for us. Yes, that we could finally come home, but that we could also walk with you and talk with you and have our being in you. Thank you for the encouragement and the blessing that you've brought us through Joanne's life. In some ways, we have so much to steward and live up to because of what you've done for us through her. But may we, Lord, not be distant from you, as we grieve and as we go forward. Help us, Father, to be committed to serve and uphold Richard and Michelle and Mark. As we remember, after this day, things can be lonely and different, and there's adjustments to make. May they all be in your company and presence. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness to us. We don't take it lightly, but we take it personally today. We remember your goodness as we sing to you. Inhabit our praise now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand with me. You'll find the words in your program. Thank you. What a great God in our midst. Before we process graveside, I want to thank you for your presence and your encouragement. Our time of worship and being together will continue at the gravesite, so I encourage you to come along, and then we will return here immediately following for a late luncheon. Let me pray a blessing over you as we go. Mighty God, we thank you for the assurance and strength that you give. We want to glorify you as we think about your heaven, your preparation for us, your self-giving that we could come freely to you. And as this party, part of your family goes to say goodbye just to a temporary tent of Joanne's and remember that she's alive with you, we ask for your anointing as we go. In the name of our risen Lord, your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.